Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're broadcasting live today from the state capitol in Pierre, and it's time to talk tourism. We have Secretary of Tourism Jim Hagen is with us in the office. Jim, welcome back.
Lori,
thanks for being
thank
here.
You. It's good to meet you finally in person. We've talked a lot, right, on the phone, but never have met in person. And welcome to Pierre.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here.
And I just have to say, every time we talk on the phone, we always talk about the energy that you bring to a conversation. And boy, when you walk in the room, the energy. Your energy fills up the state of South Dakota.
That's tourism.
Yes, that's tourism. That's you and what you bring to tourism. And you have worked for many different governors, which I didn't realize, but you worked for Governor Rounds and Governor Dugard and Governor Janklow in
Correct.
Different capacities, and now Governor Noem.
Yes, yeah.
So you've got a lot of experience going into, as when you look at a transition, every transition is a time for opportunity.
Right, exactly. And it was fun 8 years ago coming in with Governor Dugard, and I'm just as excited today as I was 8 years ago. Governor Noem obviously has made history as our first female governor, but what I especially love is her passion for South Dakota, her passion for people. Her passion for seeing the state do new and better things, building upon our success. And she is a tourism governor. She actually worked in the industry when they ran their hunting lodge, she and her husband, Brian. So she has firsthand experience, and she understands tourism. Not that other governors haven't. They've all been great, but especially excited to work with Governor Noem.
All right. So we look at some of the big challenges and excitement ahead. And one of the things, I'm always so happy you joined us in January at all, because the State Tourism Conference is coming up. Where do you want to begin with our conversation today? You want to begin with what's happening in January?
Sure. So next week, our Tourism 2019 Governor's Conference on Tourism will begin actually Tuesday morning. We're doing our first ever Tourism Day at the Capitol. So I think at this point we have about 190 industry members who are registered to come to the Capitol at 10 a.m. on Tuesday, January 15th. And we're just going to reach out to legislators to tell them, one, thank you for your support, and two, just to reiterate the importance of tourism to our economy and to jobs. And three, to invite them to a special reception that night in their honor. The next day we'll kick off with a special speaker who's a futurist and an expert on marketing. He's worked for two of the largest ad agencies in the world, Ogilvy and Leo Burnett. Great guy, Rohit Bhargava is his name. Later that afternoon, Libby Gill, who is a specialist in leadership. She has headed up communications for Sony Television, Universal Pictures, and also for Turner Broadcasting. But she has a really unique presentation on kind of the balance between leadership and life and stresses and all that good stuff. I'll give my annual briefing on Wednesday as well. And then on Thursday, we're bringing in for the first time ever the CEO and president of the United States Travel Association, probably the most powerful person in the country when it comes to travel and tourism, Roger Dow. He's a personal friend of mine. We're so excited to have him. And then he'll be followed by Chris Thompson, also a good friend of mine, who is the CEO of Brand USA. And Brand USA is what South Dakota Tourism Department is to our state. They do that for the entire country. They are the marketing agency for the United States. So they're both going to give us briefings on what's happening with the state of travel and tourism in the United States and internationally, and how South Dakota fits into that picture.
That was my next question. How does South Dakota fit into that national picture? Because that matters.
It does matter. Yeah. So when we just step back and we look at, oftentimes, you know, tourism is looked at as a fun industry, and it is. But at the end of the day, Lori, we're having a huge economic impact on this state. About 10 to 11% of all state tax revenue is generated by tourism. We're directly or indirectly employing 55,000 South Dakotans, a significant impact on our state's GDP. So it's important. So we need tourism to be thriving, because it is an economic driver for rural South Dakota and for our larger cities, and it's employing our friends and our family. So in terms of how we're fitting in nationwide, everywhere I travel around the country, people are talking about South Dakota. Now, we have worked really hard at that, especially when it comes to public relations. That's a component that we added to our work about 6 years ago, really focusing in on getting before key media across the country, not only nationally, but globally as well. So it's fun when we go out and sit down with top travel writers and journalists or any other influential group who says, you know, we've been hearing about South Dakota, and we haven't heard about you before. So that's exciting. Our goal is to every year up our game, reach more people, to get them to be thinking about South Dakota, and then eventually they may decide to travel here right away, or we may inspire them to come down the road. But One day we're going to get them.
And that doesn't happen by accident.
No.
So let's talk about some of that marketing strategy, that messaging strategy, mm-hmm. the sort of the digital behavior of audiences right
yes.
now,
yeah.
and how you can kind of measure and parse out and break down
yeah.
how do we deliver that message
yeah.
so it's more than anecdotal.
Yeah, you know what? It's really awesome, and this is all technology. So we have the ability now with our marketing, instead of even 5 years ago and 3 years ago, just guessing who our audience may be. We had a good feel for who they were, what they looked like, what their interests were. But technology has allowed us to drill even deeper down into their behaviors and to know what they're reading, what music they're listening to, what kind of job they hold, what's their household income, what kind of car are they driving, how many kids do they have in their family, where do they like to shop. When they are online, are they shopping at Shields? Are they shopping at Chico's? Are they shopping at Walmart? We know all of that behavior. We know their interests. Are they interested in the outdoors? Are they interested in family attractions? Do they like bodies of water? Are they into arts and culture? Do they want to see plays? Do they want to go to concerts? Do they want to see a symphony? We are able to gather a lot of that now, and now we're able to geo-target our message based upon their behavior and based upon their location. So we can drill down even to the street level into your household, Lori, and say, we know Lori Walsh, we know her behaviors, and we know her likes, so we're going to target our message accordingly to her on the right platform. So she may be watching traditional TV, we'll have an ad on there. You may be watching cable TV, and we know that through your behaviors, we'll target you on cable. You may be on alternative TV, Roku, Hulu, we'll target you on that. Mm-hmm. We have the ability at one time, you may have five different devices in your household. We can target a message on each one of those five devices specific to your interests.
And here I thought you were just telling me to take my vacation time because you thought it was a good idea.
And we love
it's
that too.
Because you know.
It's because we know. And that I love the fact that more and more every year it's taking the guesswork out of our yeah. marketing. So we just don't have to, and we've never done this before, throw money to the wind.
Right.
But now we can really target that market or target that money specifically to interest and to behavior. So whether that's through print or digital or traditional television or social media or through public relations and activations that we do. Yeah, it just makes us more efficient.
Yeah, and I always say to everybody in the office, I just shout out, Jim Hagan wants you to take your time off.
Exactly.
And go somewhere in South Dakota.
And for South Dakotans, while we're on that point, there have been studies done. There was one done about a year ago. We, as South Dakotans, are proud of our work ethic, and it's awesome. We work hard, but we are horrible about taking our vacation days. I mean, we're one of the worst, if not the worst, in the entire United States. We're almost dead last. In fact, I think we are. So I would encourage South Dakotans, we need to take our time off. And it's good for your mental health, your physical health, and what it does for the economy is great. If you'll take a few days off, and say you just stay in your backyard and you go to Lowe's and buy gardening supplies and you do gardening for a day or two, or you get in the car and you travel down to Lewis and Clark Recreation Area, or you go up to Fort Sisseton, or maybe you head over to the Black Hills, you're generating money and revenue. And again, you're adding to the tax base, and not only statewide, but locally, you're employing people. It's just good. It's good for our economy, but it's also good for your health. So take your days off, South Dakotans, and I'm preaching to the choir here.
And as we look at the month of January, now January happens to be one of my favorite months of the year, but for a lot of people, it's a little bit more of a grind for them. Talk a little bit about this idea of bringing all these workers, all these tourism workers, leaders in the tourism industry in the state together in the month of January, not only for the training and the education and the network and the connection that they need, but also for that fresh storytelling that says, by the way,
yes.
this is why we're doing what we're doing.
Exactly. And that's the one, I guess that's the one message and the one feeling or takeaway that I hope our industry members leave with is we hope they're inspired to go back and welcome those visitors, the bulk of the visitors when they start to come in late spring, early summer. We want to highlight all of our successes for the year. Talk about what's coming down the pike in 2019 and beyond. Talk about some of our challenges. But if there is one sentiment I get year after year after year, it's like we left feeling inspired and saying, yes, we're making a difference. And that's important to us. But I should say, too, It's been a good winter for us, especially in the western half of the state. Terry Peak is having an amazing year. So one thing we're trying to focus on, too, is South Dakota is a year-round destination. So don't forget that whether you're on the east, west, north, south, we have outdoor opportunities from snowmobiling to snowshoeing to skiing, obviously. There's a lot to see and do in South Dakota. And we have fun events, lots of entertainment events as well. So don't forget about that. We may not bring as many out-of-state visitors during the winter months, but we're really building for one day being a more of a year-round destination.
Are there different regions in the state that are doing exciting things that you think are worth mentioning that are struggling because of particular situations out of their control?
I think all the regions are doing a great job. I just think the challenge is to continue to tell the story and to inspire visitors and our own citizens that there's a lot to see and do year-round right in your backyard. I think one of the biggest challenges we're facing right now, and this is especially in the western half of the state, is finding workers for the tourism industry. So huge issue with H-2B and J-1 visa workers, especially those international workers. But I have to say our congressional delegation, especially Senator Mike Rounds, has been working very diligently on this issue to raise that cap nationally, especially on H-2B international workers. Because Lori, last summer we had tourism businesses, especially in the Black Hills, that curtailed their hours, closed early, in some instances almost thought they weren't going to open at all because they just couldn't find workers. So that is one of our biggest, if not our biggest challenge at the moment, is just finding that seasonal employment to help. So that's something we'll continue to work on, but really it's a federal issue that right. needs to be addressed by the Secretary of Homeland Security and the Secretary of Labor in D.C., but we're going to keep pushing that.
And when is the key time to sort of make breakthroughs in that area?
Now.
Yeah, right.
Now. yesterday, really. I mean, we just, last year it got to be too late into the season, and we need movement now because those workers need to be vetted, and there's lots of prep that goes in. Say we were able to make some progress here and get the cap of the number of H-2B workers raised in D.C., we can't do it 30 days out from the start of what we call our peak season. There's just no time. There's no time to vet those workers, to get them over here, and to get them trained. So today's the best day. Maybe yesterday.
Give us a preview of some of the marketing messages for 2019. What can you tell us? Or is that a big reveal?
No, it'll be somewhat of a little bit of reveal, but I'll surprise you now just say we're bringing back the old South Dakota Great Faces, Great Places jingle that has resonated for so many decades with our visitors. So you're going to see that be a major part of our marketing, not only in 2019, but I think in years to come. It's just too good, and it has really become ingrained in folks, and they immediately recognize it. I don't care where I travel around the country, especially to travel shows. If I had a dollar for every time people were coming up singing or humming that song from Los Angeles to Milwaukee, I mean, it's crazy. So you'll see an emphasis on our Great Faces, Great Places. You'll see commercials where we actually have industry members talking about what's so great about South Dakota. Again, just highlighted by that South Dakota sing out. So excited to unveil that. The governor will unveil some of those commercials next week during her Thursday evening gala address to the industry. So that'll be exciting. We're adding a new travel show in February, the Los Angeles Travel and Tourism Show. We've been wanting to get there for a couple years. LA, California is a great market for us. So excited to add that. We've got lots planned. We've got a Mount Rushmore replica that we created and used in Chicago last summer for the first time. We'll be taking that around the country to inspire and motivate people and tell the South Dakota story. So we have lots of things we'll be doing, but excited for 2019.
Where did that Great Faces, Great Places jingle come from?
It, I believe it was during Governor Mickelson's years. It was before my time, but the Great Faces, Great Places positioning statement, if you will, logo, all of that was created in probably the late 1980s, I should say, when Governor Mickelson got in office. So it stuck. It has really resonated. In fact, I'll tell you, a couple years ago, we did a focus group in Chicago because we get tired of seeing Great Faces, Great Places, the South Dakota script. Is it outdated? Yeah. Is it not resonating? To a T, 100% of those focus groups said, we love your South Dakota script. We love the Great Faces, Great Places jingle. don't touch what you're doing. We may get tired of it, but our consumers and our visitors, they still love it. So it's good stuff.